In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. October the 21st to the 24th. I am incredibly excited about the week ahead. Marion Dufford and I have been planning and discussing it forever, but it is finally time for us to go to the Lake District and do some filming for our series about the culinary habits of the great poets, metaphysical in this instance, for the ever-lovely Sky Arts. My job today is to prepare for the trip both mentally and physically. And, of course, I'm worried about leaving the house while there's still builders at large. Anthony and I shared an extensive breakfast this morning and went for a walk in the park, part of my physical prep for the forthcoming trip. We then lunched together at our favourite little local place, Such a Range of Hams. Then Anthony popped into town for a couple of meetings and I trudged home to write out a list of things I must remember to pack.
Damien?
How are you, Marion?
I'm well, I'm very well. I'm just thrilled to be finally up here.
Oh, yes, I can't wait. How's it looking?
Oh, it's glorious. The view from the hotel room is fabulous. It's all looking in very good shape, I must say.
I am glad.
The only thing we still need is a definite title for the series. We must be able to do better than Poets and Their Palettes.
I thought you liked my title.
I jotted down a few ideas while I was on the train.
Oh, right.
Feeding the Muse. I was hoping for rather more enthusiasm than that.
Well...
Poetry and Provender?
Ooh, better.
I was briefly very pleased with one.
Yes?
Yeats's Treats.
Why were you pleased with that?
Because on paper it looks as if it'll rhyme.
Yeats. Oh, yes. That is a shame. I mean, it looks great.
I know.
There must be a word for that.
For knowing something?
For words that only rhyme on paper.
Yes, that must be. What's a metonym?
No, not that. Keats's Treats, that would work.
Yes, but he's not in the series.
One worry lurking at the back of my mind concerns Anthony and Mr. Mullaney alone together for the best part of a week. I really don't want them antagonising one another. Anthony says he's far too busy to get in anyone's way, but not too busy, I hope, to oversee the work that Mr. Mullaney is doing. I know I shouldn't worry, but I'm painfully aware that it's so much easier for everyone else when I'm in charge. But I think people understand that I can't be in two places at once. Recipe. Early start tomorrow, so an early night. Here's a hot chocolate with chilli in it, slightly naughty. The South Americans, of course, have been matching chocolate and chilli for centuries. We're actually rather late to this particular party. For this, you will need 2 pints of milk, whole, either go the whole hog or not at all, 2 chilies, red, 7 ounces of chocolate, plain, broken into small pieces, 200 millilitres of cream, single. Pour the milk into a pan. Slice the chilies in half, lengthways, and then de-seed, but leave the stalks attached in order to aid handling. Add them to the milk. Slowly bring it to a simmer, then remove from the heat for 10 minutes so the chili and the milk can get to know each other. Then return the milk to a low heat, add the cream and the chocolate, and caress the mixture till it has all come together nicely. Remove the chilies, pour into your favourite mug, sit back, and imagine for a minute you're at a Hualpa. Serves 8, which, now I think about it, seems rather a lot to drink just before going to bed, but worth the risk, I feel. October the 22nd, Thursday. I taxied to the train station after a slightly hurried breakfast, only to find that the taxi operator I had booked with had miscalculated just how long my journey to Euston would take, and thus found myself arriving with 1 hour and 3 quarters to spare before my train was due to depart. Euston Station is not the easiest place in the world to kill time, it must be said. I went to upgrade to first class because Marion had, obviously absent-mindedly, sent me a standard ticket. This transaction, despite a lengthy discourse about the conditions of carriage, only absorbed 25 minutes. Once I managed to board, the journey was not a great deal of fun. It should have taken 2 hours and 38 minutes, but was actually nearer 3 hours and 21, owing to use the parlance, 3 lengthy stops in the Warrington area that went completely unexplained by the guard. They simply can't tell you enough about the contents of the buffet or valid ticket types, but the minute there's a genuine crisis on board, they put up the shutters. It's more, I fear, of that omerta one hears so much about. Thankfully, Marion was on my platform to meet me.
Marion, how lovely to see you. Yes, we've been running late since Warrington, tediously.
And you didn't think to let me know? You could have phoned.
Quiet, carriage.
Text?
I don't know how to.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not completely sure how to.
Ridiculous. I've got a taxi waiting for us in the car park. This is supposed to be low budget. We can't afford to have drivers idling their engines as if you're...
Andy Burnham?
Well, possibly. Now, why don't you let me help you with one of your three suitcases?
Oh, that's kind.
How was your journey otherwise? Was it wonderful?
I don't actually know what the origin of the word Pendolino is, but I imagine it was some sort of torture instrument.
Oh, there was a legend of Pendolino.
Was there?
Yes, it was about a man on a journey that simply wouldn't end.
Really?
It was a punishment for overpacking.
Stop it.
Now, did you eat on the train?
I most certainly did not. I nearly capitulated outside Wigan and went for something from the trolley, but then someone across the aisle from me opened a packet of Quavers or something. The smell was just so bad. Might just have put me off eating forever.
Oh, dear. You poor thing.
It's like your flatulence would smell if you only ate plastic. Something really ought to be done.
I wonder who you'd have to write to get cheese-flavoured snacks outlawed.
Well, I intend to find out.
Marion had mentioned to me several times that this production would be operating on a shoestring, but even so, I am a little taken aback, and I don't consider myself easily shocked. When Marion had referred to the room on the telephone, I had not realised that she was referring to our room. The meal allowance for dinner is a mighty £10. I had a look at the bar menu downstairs, and a Cobb salad comes in at £12.50. So I shall either have to dip into my own pocket or starve. Marion left me to my own devices and went off to do a last little bit of fixing in preparation for the shoot, and I promised to stand her dinner when she returned, so long as I'd woken from my nap. In the event, there was no nap from which to wake, as the mattresses in this remote little hotel are not in the first flush of youth. I did manage to have a decent bath, though. Piping hot water simply gushes from the tap. In fact, if I hadn't thought to quickly test the temperature before jumping in, there's a chance I could have been broiled.
Oh, this is very kind of you, Damien. My treat tomorrow?
We shouldn't have to treat each other. I mean, really, this sort of thing should be covered by the company.
Damien, shoestring means shoestring. We both know there's not much money in making programmes like this. But we don't do it for the money, though, do we?
Well, I suppose not.
We do it for the
cachet.
Love.
I mean, love.
This sort of work is really sustaining. And it's fun.
Is it really? More fun than, Oh, I'm sorry, I've forgotten. What's your Channel 4 programme called?
Too Many Cooks.
Too Many Cooks, that's it. I mean, that must be fun to do. It's not exactly my sort of programme.
Well, it is fun too, but it's a reality show. This is a proper look at something I'm really interested in. And I get to do it with someone I really like working with.
Oh, gosh, that's very nice to hear. Thank you, Marion. I truly love working with you.
Great. So can I have a pudding?
Yes.
Excuse me. Could I get the brownies and ice cream, please?
Oh, that does sound a bit, Oh, I know I shouldn't, but we'll be striding about all day tomorrow, won't we?
My thoughts exactly.
Not that you need to worry about, Sorry, can we have two of those, please?
Did he hear us?
I think he's wandered off towards the kitchen. I assume he's heard something.
Oh, look! That must be Philip. He's wearing a North Face. Philip!
Who?
Our cameraman.
Hi, Marion. Damien.
Hello.
Hi there.
Will you join us?
I might have a drink of something.
Oh, the wine's good.
Yeah, I'll have some of that then. Excuse me? Could I get another wine glass, please? Did he hear me?
We think so. We're just about to have brownies.
Well, we will be very active tomorrow.
I hardly ever eat in the evenings.
Oh.
Grab something from the Wild Bean Cafe at about 4.
Oh, where's that?
Damien.
Sounds like a sort of pulsy vegetarian sort of a place. I'm not actually all that okay with vegetarian.
No, it's nothing fancy.
It's part of BP.
What?
The petrol station.
Diversifying, are they? Well, need to after all that fuss in the Atlantic, I suppose.
I suppose.
I don't drive. Where are those brownies? I'll be asleep in a moment.
I'm sure that Philip is an extremely competent cameraman, but I do feel that our broad-shouldered friend somewhat hijacked my dinner with Marion. She and I have a very particular sort of a friendship, but I know it's hard for me to compete for her attention with someone so irritatingly muscular and capable. I settled the bill and then excused myself for an early night. I hadn't even left the bar before I heard Philip and Marion ordering a second bottle. I wasn't actually seeking as early a night as I claimed. My intention was to have a good read of Margaret Atwood just as soon as I'd checked up on Anthony.
Hello?
Hello, Anthony.
Damien, hello. How's it going up there?
Well, it's not been the best of experiences as yet, I must say. The train service was absolutely dismal.
Right.
I mean, when you think about the amount that people are paying, plus I had to upgrade to first class out of my own pocket, did I tell you?
No, you didn't tell me that. Can I just...
I live a half an hour late, not a word
of... Same again, please.
What are you... Where are you?
Me? Oh, I'm actually at the pub.
The pub? Who with?
Mr. Mullaney and some of his chums. We're having a bit of the crack, so...
I see.
We're having a very pleasant evening. Oh, they just got out the giant Jenga. Could we speak tomorrow?
Yeah, fine. Right, bye.
October the 23rd, Friday. We were up early, and after a rudimentary meal in the breakfast lounge, in reality the very room in which we'd had our supper last night, but with a different laminated sign blue tacked to the door, off we went in Philip's Land Rover to film at our first location.
Oh, gosh, it really is coming down, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame. It's been lovely since I got here.
Did you check the forecast?
No.
I did. Said it would be pretty torrential for much of the week.
Oh, did it?
Well, what'll we do? Wait till it stops?
Well, there won't be time. We'll have to film in the rain.
The rain? Won't it show up on camera?
That should be all right, actually. As long as we keep you reasonably dry, it's light enough.
It's going to be pretty hard to conjure up the spirit of Wordsworth if I'm sopping.
You won't be sopping.
The scenery will still look great.
We can use library footage of daffodils if need be.
Library footage of daffodils? Can't bear rain.
Oh, don't be such a misery cuts, Damien.
It'll be great. Rather work in this rain than some of the conditions I've had to deal with.
You can't have worked in much worse rain than this.
Well, not rain, no, but...
Well, there you are, then.
Being shelled in Sarajevo.
Oh.
Or under sniper fire in Kabul.
Right, right.
Think I can manage a bit of rain.
What a punishing day. Marion had organised a schedule that was absolutely non-stop. We set up in 9 different locations, admittedly all sumptuous, and worked right through lunch. Rain was our constant companion. We sped from location to location, and each time I had to memorise the script for the next shot as we skidded along narrow country lanes. It was, and at one point I think I may have mentioned it to Marion, far from ideal. I could not, at the end of a day like that, face another meal in our hotel. We ended up, as one always seems to in these circumstances, at a curry house. I ordered a Rogan something rather, and Marion, living dangerously as ever, opted for a prawn dish. Philip, and I must say I envied his chutzpah, went off menu and asked them to make up something he'd once enjoyed when trekking either along or across the Pindari Glacier.
My Himalayan curry. Okay, so this is very simple. Don't be a slave to the recipe. There's some specified spices in here, but I tend to use whatever I have to hand. 500 grams of meat, any you like. 2 or 3 red chilies, I like to keep the seeds in. 4 shallots, chopped. An inch or so piece of peeled ginger. 1 teaspoon of mustard seeds, the same of cumin. 1/2 teaspoon of fenugreek seeds, the same of turmeric. A good whack of tomato puree and a can of coconut milk. In a whizzer, or pestle and mortar if you're looking to let off some steam, blitz the chilies, onion and ginger with a little water till you get a paste. Heat some oil, or ghee, if you're going for the real deal, in a heavy pan and cook the meat until it's browned. Then set it aside. In the same pan, toss in the mustard and fenugreek seeds till they snap, crackle and pop. Add the shallots, the paste, the puree, and turn the heat down a smidge and cook for a good 5 minutes. Splash in some water if it starts getting a little dry. Add the other spices, give it a stir, then tip in the meat, pour in the coconut milk, bring to a simmer, but keep stirring. Cook for a few minutes until everything's heated through. Place on a bed of rice, squeeze a lime, chuck in a bit of coriander, and you're good to go. Easily cooked at home or at 10,000 feet.
Oh, gosh, that does look good.
Yeah, I always ask for it.
I haven't the confidence to go off menu. Worry people might be offended.
I think people like to be challenged sometimes, to test themselves. If they're not in a position to do it, that's fine.
Oh.
Would you like to try some?
Oh, yes.
I'd love to.
Dive in.
Mmm.
Philip, that is delicious. Yeah.
Not at all what one came to the Lake District expecting.
Yeah, well, quite.
And you first had it where, did you say?
The Kumaon Hills.
Oh, in Uttarakhand.
Yeah, that's right. You know it.
Oh, well, I've not been, but I have read a lot of John Bang.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. He's quite unsung, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Have you read everything?
Not everything.
Oh, you really should.
It's Himalayan.
That's right, yeah.
Were you working there?
No, I just... Sometimes I like to just take off somewhere new, try something different.
Have you been travelling recently?
Not really had the chance.
Oh, I thought you might have.
Why?
I was watching you this afternoon. Well, I noticed when you were loading the Land Rover that you...
Yes, I'm sorry I couldn't have been more help with all the lifting and carrying.
And I was thinking that you were looking quite tanned.
Well...
Oh, I wonder where the lavatories are.
Back at the hotel, Philip and Marion immediately headed into the bar. I don't know where people like them get their energy. How they can rabble-rouse and then do Poets and Palettes, working title, Justice, in the daytime, I don't know. Somehow they seem to. I couldn't face any more wine, and so I returned to mine and Marion's room to learn tomorrow's pieces to camera thoroughly.
Oh, come on.
Hello?
Anthony, it's Damien.
Yes, I know who it is.
When you said hello, it sounded like a question.
It was a question, I suppose.
But it wasn't, now, who is this on the telephone?
No, it wasn't, now, who is this on the telephone? It was, I wonder what Damien wants now.
Oh, I see. Right, well, if you ever answer the phone to me like that again, I'll know what you mean and behave accordingly.
I always answer the phone like that.
And how is the house?
It's fine.
And what was Mr. Mullaney working on today?
The loft.
Yes, I know he's working on the loft. What aspect of it?
I'm not totally sure. I mean, he's just...
Well, please make sure you know what he's up to in future. You're supposed to be in charge.
What are you sounding so grumpy about?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, maybe I'm a bit... It's a bit testing here. Very long days, not a great hotel. Marion and the cameraman getting on rather too well for my liking. The weather continues to be abysmal.
Right, can I,
I mean, she's my friend, I hope.
Do you mind if I phone you back, Damien? It's just now isn't,
What?
It's my turn to throw.
Your turn to...
I'm ten-pin bowling.
You're ten-pin bowling? Who with?
Well, with the lads.
What lads?
Mr. Mullaney and the lads. Sorry, lads, sorry, I've got... Yes, no, I've just...
Unbelievable.
I really have got to go, Damien. Getting quite a few nasty remarks now.
But...
September the 7th, Wednesday. Philip's Land Rover was completely unable to start this morning. I looked out of the window of the breakfast lounge and could see him hunched over the open bonnet, dripping with sweat and unable to make anything happen, whilst it absolutely tipped it down. Marion shouted the odd encouraging phrase out of the window at him, although quite what real good she imagined she was doing, I've no idea. She probably thought it would help if he took his top off. I ordered more toast and read the paper, whilst Marion went off to make alternative travel arrangements. Half a pot of coffee later, she reappeared to say that the lady who had collected us from the station had agreed to be our driver for the day. This news did not, I must confess, fill me with much excitement. During my rather brief time in her vehicle, I found her to be unyielding, brusque and crazily overprotective of her upholstery. Marion told me to get ready, but instead, I've stayed up in our room gathering my thoughts. What am I doing here? Why didn't I choose a project that was more homely? Or set in Spain? If you had told me 3 days ago that I'd be fed up with the Lake District, I would have felt no qualms about sitting about you with a length of carpet-covered lead piping just for being so ridiculous. Today, however, the clouds of depression aren't so much wandering lonely as gathering in one great ominous herd. If herd is the right word. What is the collective noun for clouds, I wonder? Could it be a school? A muster? I mean, a cloud is itself already, in a way, a collective noun, isn't it? The droplets of rain or dust particles. Or black thoughts.
You're right in there, Damien.
Hmm?
Philip and I are waiting downstairs.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
You must have been in there ages. You're not reading, are you?
No.
Or writing your diary?
Certainly not.
Are you having a difficult time in there?
No. Oh, yes. I'm really quite ill. Must have been the horrific thing that Philip forced us to eat.
I feel fine.
Well done. You've obviously got a tungsten gut. I'm an absolute wreck.
And so off we went to Coniston Water and filmed and filmed and filmed. We rather missed Philip's Land Rover, actually. Penny, the cab company lady, in addition to suffering from extreme paranoia about the state and indeed worth of her wretched car seat covers, was hardly ever prepared to get us especially close to our filming location due to her not wanting to get grass on the tyres. Quite ridiculous. I cannot abide prissiness. Poor Philip and Marion ended up having to haul all the camera kit and sound equipment which Marion was operating over long distances, whilst I carried the umbrella in an attempt to stay as dry as possible for continuity purposes. We had, quite out of nowhere, 15 minutes of the most wonderful sun at one point, and then, all of a sudden, the weather came in again and we were nearly stranded. Philip, from what seemed to me to be an absolutely tiny rucksack, produced and erected a tarpaulin, and even set up a small tranger stove on which to boil up some tea whilst we waited for the squall to pass. Recipe. Kendall mint cake. For this you will need white granulated sugar, around a pound, 150 millilitres of milk, and half a teaspoon of peppermint essence. Put the sugar and milk into a saucepan and bring it slowly up to the boil. Stir until you've achieved a nice, thick, sticky mixture. Then remove from the heat, add the mint essence and, with a wooden spoon and an iron will, beat the mixture until it is smooth, setting slightly but still malleable. Pour it all into a shallow, pre-buttered tin and leave it to set in the refrigerator. Should take an hour or so. Then turn the cake out of the tin and cut into long pieces. Transfer to an airtight container and place in your bivy bag or knapsack until needed. a welcome treat whilst you're enjoying the view from Scarfell, I imagine. It was a long, long day, at the end of which we were all quite shattered. No one fancied much by way of supper. I had a bag of peanuts from the hotel bar, and we were all in favour of an early night.
Damien!
I'm ringing to ask how you are.
Well, thanks. I'll probably be heading back soon.
Heading back? From where?
I'm actually out with Mr. Mullaney and his pals again.
What?
We're on a stag do. Someone dropped out, but they'd already booked it. They asked me to step in.
Right.
It's been great, actually.
Has anything been done in the house today?
In the house, there hasn't been time. Go-karting this morning, paintball in the afternoon, which I think you'd love, by the way.
I'm quite sure I wouldn't.
And now it's, a few drinks, and then...
Unbelievable.
Regrettably, however, Marion has picked up something of a chill during the day, and consequently she spent the night sniveling and coughing furiously, making sleep quite impossible. So I dressed again and went down to the visitors' lounge, no apostrophe, to see if I could get any rest there. October the 24th, Saturday. The last day of filming finally dawned. It's possible that I've been a little negative about some of our experiences up here, but generally I think we've all been pretty thrilled with the quality of what we've filmed, and today's work consisted of several short pieces to camera about Robert Herrick and Jam. Marion was still trying to shake off her cold this morning, and so she asked Philip and I to go off and shoot these last few pieces without her, which is a measure of just how much we all must trust each other. Thankfully, we did not have to rely on Penny Watsett and her people carrier. Philip said he had suddenly realised at 4 a.m. what must be wrong with his Land Rover, and so had gone straight down and worked by torchlight. He was happy to off-road, and so we had few difficulties getting to places, and there was no more lugging of kit. Philip turns out to be a surprisingly decent chap, and also, I think, an excellent judge of things. He was kind enough, quite incidentally, to mention that he thought my naturalistic style of presentation was very refreshing, which I found rather flattering. I'm sure it can't be true. At lunchtime, the rain having stopped, we ate sandwiches at the foot of Cat Bell's.
Oh, it really looks like quite a climb, doesn't it? You should be rather fit.
Oh, I'm sure you'd be fit enough. You look like you're in pretty good shape.
Oh, well, that's very... suppose I do it sensibly. And I like to walk.
Your phone.
Hmm?
I think you're...
Hold on. My mobile. Hello?
Mr. Trench?
Mr. Mullaney, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Grant, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Just having a bite to eat at the foot of Cat Bell's.
All right. Sounds delightful.
How's the house? Don't imagine you've had much chance to work this week. Whenever I speak to Anthony, he's out with you on the round then.
Yeah, it's actually that... It's a bit difficult to talk about, but...
What is it, Mr. Mullaney? You can tell me.
I don't mean to talk out of turn. I don't like speaking to you like this, but... It's...
Right.
He's a delightful fellow, you know, but Anthony keeps inviting himself out with me and the lads and... Well, it was fine at first, but it's getting a little bit out of hand now, and I don't feel I can say anything about it, you know, because he's my boss, and...
Well, we're both your boss.
No, yeah, absolutely, but I just wondered, you know, if it might be better coming from you if we're able to say something about it. Just some of my friends are finding this sort of laddish chat a bit patronising, you know, it's like with the impersonations and all. I feel awful telling you this.
Please don't worry about it, Mr. Mullaney. You've done absolutely the right thing by telling me. And it was me thinking Anthony was having more fun than I am.
Oh, he's been having a good time, no doubt.
Right, well, yes, but under false, what's it? I'll have a word, don't you worry. Right, well, lovely chatting. I shall catch you upon my return.
All right, thanks, Mr. Trent. Sorry about all this.
Bye-bye.
I returned to the hotel in a good mood. On the way back, Philip said that as it had finally stopped raining, he fancied a night in his tent. Would I, he wondered, be interested in taking his room, which was ever so generous of him. What a luxury to have a room all to myself, and for Marion too. She was up and about when we got back and looking the picture of health. We all professed, after the days we've just had, to being really rather tired and ready for an early night. 3 can so often be an awkward number, and yet I feel that between us, we've really got the balance right this week and avoided too many feelings of left-outedness. How nice, though, to have a bathroom to myself and enjoy a long soak without all the while expecting Marion's Gestapo-like knock at the door.
Hello?
Hello, Damien. How's it going?
I am enjoying a bath. And I have the place completely to myself for the first time since I got here.
What? Who have you been sharing baths with?
Oh, don't be so silly. Marion and I have had shared use of the facilities up to now, which you would know if you'd actually been listening during any of my calls. But our charming cameraman Philip is in his tent tonight and has let me have sole use of his room. Marion is next door, enjoying similar splendid isolation. And how are you?
Oh, no, fine. Just having a bit of a rest before linking up with the lads, if I can find out where they seem to have gone to ground.
Yes, about that, Anthony.
Yes?
Don't you think it might be a good idea to stop bothering Mr. Blaney and his friends quite so much?
What?
I'm not sure it's a good idea for you to keep imposing.
Imposing? Well, the lads and I have a great time together.
I'm not so sure that they enjoy your company as much as you enjoy theirs.
What a ridiculous and, may I add, presumptuous thing to say. Why on earth would you say that? I'll tell you what it is. You don't like people having fun without you, having fun behind your back.
That's not true. That is emphatically not the case.
It is. You're always jealous of other people enjoying themselves.
Completely untrue. You're out of line.
No, you are. Stop being jealous. Jealous of other people's fun.
Well, that is just completely unfair. I take great delight in the happiness of others.
You do not. You are bathing in bitterness.
I'm not bathing in bitterness. I'm bathing in some sort of ginger and mango. Oh, never mind. Really.
Ah, oh, well, look at that.
Oh!
Marion?
Room for one more.
There most certainly is.
I fancy a night in my tent. Sick milking. In and Out of the Kitchen starred Miles Chupp and Justin Edwards, with Brendan Dempsey, Ben Crowe and Leslie Vicarage. It was written by Miles Chupp. The producer was Sam Michelle.